can't you just see someone strolling down the street doing that? Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris Vandercrane. How'd you like
Beth
that?
Ann. Yeah, well, it had some bounce to it, didn't it?
Yeah, we were watching a lot of bouncing going around this table.
That's right.
Well, this morning we're going to talk about something that is not bouncing exactly the way we'd like to see it. Homelessness. Now, this week, the city and county of Honolulu found out that it had a greater issue with homelessness than perhaps it thought. The 2015 point-in-time count for Oahu showed the number of chronically homeless singles had increased 19%. Homeless vets showed a 21% increase. Neighbor Island homeless population data is due next month, but today we're going to look behind the Oahu numbers with Hawaii's homelessness coordinator, Colin Kippen. Good morning. Thanks for coming back.
Aloha, Beth Ann.
Good to talk to you again. Now, it's been suggested that because there was a really concerted effort, well-coordinated, that the reason we may be seeing some of these inflated numbers or an increase in the numbers is because simply the counting was done better. Do you agree with that?
I think so. This is a voluntary count. And the question is, where did you sleep on the night of January 25th? And every year, it's some date in January, and we ask the question to the community, to everyone, where did you sleep? And this is a homeless survey that we do, and it's a voluntary survey that we're doing with volunteers. So what we, I think, did a better job this year of doing is finding people who were unsheltered. Because in order to be able to survey someone who is not in a shelter, you've got to be able to locate them. So they may be, sleeping in a place where they don't want to be found. And in fact, that is a usual strategy for someone who is homeless. You don't want to be kicked out of the place that you've chosen to spend the night. So you're not always in the most obvious, notorious, well-known places. You're in a place where, you're really not looking to be found.
Right. That said, Colin Kippen, though, don't these numbers sort of tell us that we have a trend?
We do.
This is not a good one.
Yeah, the trend is not going in the right direction. And I can tell you that a couple of things that if you look at the data, what you'll see is that we started doing this in 2009. And so in 2009, 67% of our homeless population on Oahu was sheltered. Now it's 60%. So the number has gone down 7 percentage points. The unsheltered number in 2009, people who were unsheltered, was 33%. That number has now gone up to 40%. So you're seeing the numbers going in exactly the opposite direction that we'd like to see them go.
In terms of percentages, but when we're talking about raw number of people counted, according to this data, it says we have almost 5,000 homeless individuals on Oahu.
Right.
That number compared to what we saw in 2009, not that inconsistent.
Right. About 200 people increased. Right. So we've identified 200 more people.
But that's still 200 more people than anyone would like to see, and certainly wouldn't like to see any of them
right.
be unsheltered. So at this point, knowing that the trend is appearing to be either more accurately captured or moving in the wrong way, what happens here with the city doing what it has been doing and the state running, it seems, not quite a parallel path, but of a much more advanced path?
Well, the big idea in homelessness, in addressing homelessness, is really a housing-first approach. And what that means is you house people as quickly as possible. And you realize, and I guess the understanding is that a person who is without a home is in the most unstable situation they could be in. So if you can house them very quickly, rapidly rehouse them or into a housing first kinds of situation as quickly as possible, what you're then able to do is make whatever treatment or other kinds of services that you're able to provide that much more effective.
Wrap them around them and have them at least be stable
right.
where they're living. We've talked so much about housing first over the last several years, but it seems the interpretation of what housing first means looks very different. You've just been on the mainland in D.C. and San Francisco and in Salt Lake City talking to some of the folks there that have done some work, particularly San Francisco and the Tenderloin District, a very difficult place to be, and of all places, Salt Lake City, that seems to be doing so well with housing first. What are they doing that somehow we're not?
Well, in Salt Lake City, what's absolutely incredible is the collaboration that occurs across their system. The other thing is that they're working together with a housing first approach, and I find this a really remarkable thing, because housing first is an approach which says you don't need, you know, we're not going to require that you have addressed all of the issues in your life for us to house you. What we realize is that by housing you as quickly as we can then address those issues. So in a community, you know, it happens to be the center for the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and there's this confluence of sort of spirituality and the faith-based community and government, which have all agreed that this is the direction we want to go in. Housing first. We're going to house people, even though they may not have, they are not yet presently done all of the things that we would require them to do in order to house them. And in fact, that was the model in most places. In most places, the model was that you need to be fully compliant in order to earn the right to housing.
But especially in a place like Salt Lake City, where there might have been a number of hoops that someone had to move through to be able to be housed, the point that you're making is, hey, it works when you house people first. In Hawaii, and particularly in Honolulu, looking at how do you do that and how the city has been interpreting that versus how the state has been interpreting that, what do you see in that chasm between?
I think this is a an issue that we need to resolve. I know that the state's Housing First program was crafted in a way that it was infidelity with the Housing First model. And we took great pains through the RFP process to make sure that it did that. I wasn't in control of what the city's doing, but I'm looking forward to hearing more about how that program is being run and whether or not it is really in fidelity with the concepts of Housing First.
And the idea of an integrated infrastructure?
We absolutely need an integrated infrastructure because, again, this whole idea of coordination, you cannot have different funders creating different programmatic approaches which end up with just this confusion about what it is we're doing.
All right, we're going to leave it right there for the moment, but we promise a longer conversation very soon. Colin Kippen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Colin Kippen is the state's homelessness coordinator. By profession, he's a lawyer and urban planner and has worked as a prosecutor, defense attorney, civil attorney, and a tribal judge in Washington State.